This is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't I get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early. Speaking of early, how about that Cro-Magnon Marty Drywitz? Thank you, Marty, for silky smooth sound. Make me sound like Peggy Lee. Freddie and the Dreamers.
David and Rob talk funny. David and Rob talk funny.com.
Hello, welcome to another episode of David and Rob Talk Funny with me, David Hughes.
And me, Burt Lancaster.
That's not your name.
Burt Slorp, sorry.
There you go. Lancaster. Where are you from?
Lancaster.
How are you, Rob?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm all right. It's been a funny week. Do you know what I did yesterday?
What's that?
Oh, nothing. What are you? Did you do anything noteworthy?
Actually, yeah, I was eating some rock candy, and I cracked my tooth. And so now today after the show, I have to go into the dentist and possibly get surgery, and I hate surgery. Have you ever had surgery?
Yeah, it's not really surgery though, is it? They're just gonna dick about in your mouth, not put a dick in your mouth. They're gonna well, I don't know what sort of dentist you've got. They don't really, it's not surgery. It's not like open night, you know, under the knife sort of.
Well, if they have to like root canal or pull the tooth out, then it would be.
Nah, not really. They just do that with a hammer these days, Rob. It's very, very straightforward.
Not in America.
Have I ever had surgery?
Yes.
I have, but I don't remember it. Now, it's an ongoing joke that I've made on Twitter a few times that I'm circumcised and I don't know why. So at some point, somebody did lop off the end of my penis, but I don't know much about it.
What would you think of, like, if you met the guy that did it? Like, it wouldn't be hard feelings because you don't know anything better, but just some dude is like, hey, I'm the guy that cut the end of your wiener off.
I would have a few questions. I'd want to know when and why. When's quite important because I honestly don't. Now, as an American, most of you are circumcised, right? That's a thing.
Yes.
Okay, when does it happen? When do you get it done? Do you get it done, like, literally as a baby or?
Yes, like within like a day or so after being born.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right. One of my best friends, it came up in conversation. I don't know. We were in our 20s anyway. And he went, so what's it like? And I went, I don't know. Compared to what? And he went, well, compared to normal, what's it like? Well, I don't know normal. What do you mean? What's it like? And he was determined that there must be a difference between, you know, a circumcised penis and an uncircumcised penis, just with regards to just having it and peeing and also, you know, not even getting into anything sexual. He was determined that there must be a difference. So I was like, there probably is a difference, Ralph, but I don't know it. Like, I've never experienced the flappy bit at the end anyway.
Yeah, I know. See, I guess I never thought about it because I'm...
But you need to think about it more. Think about your penis more.
I need to think about penises much more often.
Yeah.
But like when you're taking a leak, do you have to like pull it back a little bit or does it like spray everywhere or I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, stuff gathers back there, doesn't it, apparently?
It might. Yeah.
I've heard this. You've got a sort of like a horse. Not that I've cleaned horses' penises, I have, but you pull it, you pull the sheath back. All right, let's move on, actually, because this is terrible, terrible topic conversation. But no, I've not had surgery on any. No, I haven't. I haven't really been to the hospital either, actually, anything.
I did well for a long time, and then once you get older, you start falling apart. And I've had a couple surgeries in the last few years.
Because you're in your 60s now, aren't you? 60, what are you, 63, 64?
Somewhere in there. Yeah, 63, I think. I don't know. Whatever the your social security starts kicking in, I'm pretty close. But
I actually missed one of my birthdays once. Did I ever tell you that? Sorry, just to go off topic.
Yeah, because that's a big problem with this show.
I missed my, I think it was 27th birthday.
Was that where you were on the boat?
No, we were in. Well, actually, I wasn't a boat, but it's not the Iquitos, Peru boat. We were in Southeast Asia, and we were in Vietnam, and we decided to hop around between Cambodia and Thailand. And we just completely lost. I knew it was September. My birthday's in September. And I knew it was September. But we got to a hotel and we were checking in. I was like, what's the date today? And she went, the 19th. So I'm like, 19th September. Oh, my birthday was a couple of days ago. I completely missed it. I had no idea. Yeah.
So, like, when you get bored or, like, when you're talking to people, do you ever say, like, back in Vietnam or back when I was in Nam?
Back in Nam, I missed my birthday.
They're like, how old are you again?
Yeah, that's my war story. Oh, I missed my birthday. What were we talking about?
Going under the knife. Yes.
Yeah. Right. So you're in your 60s and you've had plenty of surgeries now.
Yes. Let's see. I had, it counts as surgery, but I had a hernia surgery, which is excruciating.
What happens there? Do you just have it sliced open and pulled out? I don't even know what a hernia is.
Well, a hernia is like you got two muscles together and they pull apart and a piece of skin gets caught in between the two muscles. And so like you have to actually physically go in there and get that taken and cut open. So that sucked. That was on my stomach.
Can it happen in your ball bag?
It happens a lot in your ball bag. Well, you know, like when a doctor tells you to cough and you're feeling your nuts.
No.
If you ever did a sport in your life, you would find out. But like
did a sport. Well, I'm just off to do a sport.
Where are you going, honey? I'm going to sport. Leave me alone.
What? I'm sorry. I've played lots of sports. At no point did a doctor ever cup my balls and say, cough, young man. That never happened. But what sort of sports were you playing and what sort of physios did you have?
At least in America,
I think we need to call someone.
When you're in high school and probably middle school, I think you have to have a sports physical before you can do any sports. And part of it is to check for hernias, and that's how they check for a hernia. When you cough, you know, your balls kind of move a little bit, and they can actually tell if it's, I don't know, maybe somebody better can explain this.
But. So you're stood there completely naked, and you have a little physician man that gets down on his knees and sort of starts, you know, rubbing your penis and puts your balls on what, his chin, or how does he tell? Where does he put the balls?
English physicals are a lot different than ours, apparently. No, he just kind of reaches down. He's like, hey, turn your head, cough. Okay, turn your head and cough the other way. All right, you're good.
Turn your head and cough?
Yes.
Well, because he doesn't want you to look at him cupping your balls.
Yeah, don't look me in the eyes when I'm feeling your nuts.
Sick.
But you have to do it everywhere here. I don't know why. I guess they don't have to do it where you're at, but you can't do a sport of any kind. I know, do a sport.
I'm sorry. I really like that. It's brilliant.
You can't participate in any sporting activities.
Oh, you spoil sport. Don't start speaking like that.
You can't do a sport unless you actually have a sports physical. And that's just part of it. They check your heart and they check your lungs and make sure.
Well, we sort of do that. We just, like when we're in school and they say like, oh, say we're playing rugby today, and then they go, don't die, and that's it.
Well, rugby, there's a good chance it's going to happen anyways.
Yeah, God, that's a disgust. I used to hate playing rugby in school.
It's like American football with like less rules, it seems like.
Yeah, and it seems like more punchy.
Yeah, there's like way more violence.
I don't know. And there's always that argument. No, American football's the toughest. I don't care which one's the toughest. I don't want to play either of them.
No, I don't. But either.
Rugby just seems like they're all wearing a lot less.
They are. And they are much. I love American football and I'm tried and true American, but rugby is way more violent from what I can tell. Because, I mean,
and there's no helmets or anything.
That's what I'm saying. They like, just like
a game like that. I really do feel like you should be wearing protective clothing.
Oh, absolutely. But no, let's see. Other surgeries I had. I had massive kidney stone. I had to go into surgery for that too.
Oh, did you have to like have it sort of lasered into different pieces and then passed out your pisser?
I actually had two at the same time, one in each kidney, and which is just incredibly bad luck because they take a while to form and then they just happen to come out, and these both happen to come out at the same time. So I started feeling like really sick to my stomach, and it started hurting in my stomach, which the doctor at first, he's like, well, that's not unheard of, but it's not normal. And then
did you just say to the doctor, you're an idiot, I just told you I'm sick to my stomach?
Yeah,
it's obviously in my stomach,
there's something going on here. And and then it was kind of freaking me out because it was like hurting when I peed, and I'm like, oh, what the hell, you know.
Oh, that's normal. It always burns when I pee.
And see, that's the thing. That's why I'm like, what? And I was dating my current wife now, so I was like, no, there's no reason it should start burning now. But and I didn't understand what was going on. And then we actually went to Red Lobster, which is like a seafood restaurant here. We went to.
I know a Red Lobster. I don't know what Red Lobster is. Thanks for clearing out.
It's just a generic nationwide seafood chain. It sucks. But we went to Red Lobster, and I was sitting there, and I'm like, man, it started hurting my back, like where my kidney is. But it started hurting, like stabbing pain. And I'm like, well, let's just go out to dinner. I don't know what the deal is. And so I was sitting at dinner because, you know, when you have a stabbing pain in your back, you just let it go.
Yeah, yeah. You don't go and seek medical attention. You go to dinner.
Yeah. So I'm sitting in the restaurant, and all of a sudden I started breaking out in a sweat, like just pouring. My body was just getting rid of all the water, and it's everywhere. I mean, it was just – I was sitting at the table trying to eat a biscuit, and I was just pouring water out of my body, and I couldn't even stand up. I'm like – I was about 10 seconds away from telling her to call an ambulance. I mean, it was the most excruciating, painful thing I've ever felt. And and it just came on, like, I had been aching for a couple days before that, but then it just started, it was excruciating. I had never felt that kind of pain. And so I'm like, we need to go to the ER right now. And so we went to the ER, and I knew all the nurses there and all the doctors in the ER. And so I walked in, they're like, what's going on with you? And I'm like, I can't move. I'm in so much pain. I'm nauseous. Like, you're hurt so bad you throw up. That's where I was at. I was just like, it was unbelievable. Like, I was seeing spots in my eyes. I mean, just, it was painful. And so the doctor's kind of feeling around. He's like, well, we need to get a CAT scan real quick to find out what's going on. And so they wheel me down there. But first he gives me some medicine. It was morphine and something. I was, because that was just excruciating. So he gave me a bunch of medicine. So I started feeling a little bit better. They laid me on the table, and he brings me back. He's like, well, you got two kidney stones. The one on the left is about the size of a piece of sand, and the one on the right is about the size of a piece of rice. And it was actually kind of shaped like a piece of rice. So the one on the left, although painful, they compare it, they say it's the closest a guy will ever get to childbirth. Yeah. And he said the one on the left will actually go through just fine, but the one on the right is wedged and stuck.
I'm so like, is that when they send the little dude in from that movie? Was it Inner Space? They shrink him down into a little spaceship, and he goes and shoots it.
Yes. He wanted to make sure it worked right, so he first started sticking a G.I. Joe head in my wiener. And he's like, yeah, that should be good. There's room. But he's like, no, we need to admit you overnight to the hospital. And I've never been... At that point, I'd never been admitted overnight before. I'm like, wow, this is weird, you know? So, and they just kept putting medicine in me, like pain pills and, or not pain, but the, you know, IV, direct IV medicine to keep the pain out because it was so excruciating. And one of the good side effects is when you have a lot of pain medicine and you're completely lunatic like I am, you start just barfing words out of your mouth. Like, it's just a terrible thing.
And like some sort of panda with Tourette's.
Yes, like Gary the panda has Tourette's. But so my, not even my wife yet, just my girlfriend's up in the room with me, and she's holding my hand and trying to like comfort me, and I'm high as a kite. Like, just, I'm gone. The words are coming out, but there's no function behind them. And the nurse has got the big board. She has to write all her allergies and everything on. And she's like, well, what are you allergic to? And
here we go.
Yes. So I label off all the vegetables and stuff. And she looks at me and slaps me for being stupid. She's like, you pussy. And then, and I'm like, and giraffes. And she's like, what? Yeah, I'm allergic to giraffes. And so she kind of looks at me and writes giraffes on the board. And bullets.
Wait, did you actually say that to her?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually told her I was allergic to giraffes and bullets. And she's like, okay, medicine's kicking in. So, and then I was holding my hand. She's like, looking at my girlfriend. She's like, is this your wife? And I'm like, oh, it's my girlfriend, you know, but she's awesome. And she's going to kill me for saying this on the radio. But I'm like, and she's awesome. She's like, the love of my life. She's like, oh, that's good. I go, and she could suck the chrome off a trailer hitch. And the nurse looks at my girlfriend, and my girlfriend's like, oh, my God. I'm like, she's so good and bad. And she's like, are you freaking kidding me? I go, and I held her hand. I go, and there's nothing more I could ever ask in my sister. And the nurse just like stares like, what?
Oh my God.
And so my girlfriend's like, just please shut up. Just at this point, just please shut up.
That woman ended up marrying you.
Yeah, she did. She has no common sense at all. She...
Oh God.
Yeah. So that was nice. But it gets worse because like you think that's like the most excruciatingly painful thing in the world, and it is. It's beyond belief. But they, the next morning they came in and they knocked me out with gas and liquid IV stuff, and they take like this laser, but it's with sound, and they blow the thing up. You know, they like blow the kidney stone up with sound, and they had to put a stent in my dong, and. You know, but see, that's the thing. I was under. So when I get out, I'm like, okay, that sucked. And it was really sore. But, you know, it was tender, and that was about it. So They discharged me from the hospital, and they say, hey, you have to come back in a week. So I'm at home, and I'm like, one, pissing blood is awesome because you just had surgery. But then a week later is the most horrifying experience probably of my life because I didn't realize what a stent completely was. And I go into the doctor's office, at his office, not at the hospital. I just walk into his office, and he's like, well, we got to get that stent out. I'm like, okay. And I'm like looking at him like, well, how do you plan on doing that? You know, just like completely oblivious to what's about to happen. And I'm like, okay. He's like, so my nurse will get you prepped here. And so I'm like laying down on my back. And the nurse comes like, well, drop your drawers. And I'm like, okay. Still like completely innocently, like a child's innocent. About what's about to happen. I'm like, okay. And so I like take my pants off and I'm screaming for an adult. She's touching my pee-pee. But
yeah, but you're so willing.
Yeah, well, I was like, hey, it's a chick, you know, I'm all right. But so she's like getting everything up, and all of a sudden he brings in this lube, and it's like I don't know, like model glue kind of, it's like a tube with a little nozzle on the end. And he shoves it in the hole and sprays. Yeah.
And it's, you just bit your finger then, didn't you?
I can tell you. Yeah. But it was like it was the numbing stuff, you know, like that numbing cream.
Yeah.
But he sprays it inside my dong, which is excruciating until it kicks in because you know it's generally an exit only kind of thing.
Thing shouldn't be in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then straight out of freaking Matrix or Aliens, you've seen Matrix.
Yeah.
Okay, you know when he pulls that thing out of his nose?
His nose? You mean the belly button?
Or the belly button, rather.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened except for my dong. He takes this thing and pulls the stent out, and I swear to God, it was like 7 feet long. I felt it in my stomach, and it didn't hurt, but it was the most awkwardly nauseous. I was gripping the chair. I was like...
I've keeled over at this point. I'm on the floor as we speak.
I was sweating. I mean, it hurt so bad, and it was so uncomfortable. And he pulled this thing out, and I thought it was like a clown's handkerchief. It just kept coming out. I'm like, that whole thing was in my junk, and it was absolutely excruciating. I hated it. It was. I got done, and I'm like, fuck you both. I'm out of here. And.
Well, I mean, I didn't really have a surgery in this sort of sense, but many years ago, a friend of mine, I'll cut this short, but his girlfriend was cheating on him and he was sure of it. And he started to get with an itch, so he had to go to the sexual health clinic. So I went with him for moral support. And while I was there, I thought, well, I'll get checked as well. Why not? Have you ever had the check done?
Well, I've done it at like when I was in the military. I was a lot better about bouncing around between partners afterwards, but I did want to.
Did your drill sergeant not just cup your balls and make you cough?
Yeah, he's like, and he looked into it and stuck his pinky in there to make, no, but I'm assuming you're going towards like the Q-tip.
Yeah, Jesus fucking Christ. There's got to be an easy way to do it. There just has to be. He just rammed this thing down my pee hole, and that was the worst pain I've ever experienced. He did it twice. why And do you know what? Afterwards, it sort of he left, and you know all the details and stuff. And then the nurse said, "Oh, we're just going to need a urine sample from you." And she hands me this jar, and I was like, "Right." And I went into the bathroom, and she heard me lock the door, and then she quickly knocked on the door. She went, "Oh no, don't knock the door! Don't lock the door, because people often pass out from the pain." I was like, "What?" So, yeah, it's going to be very painful when you pass urine for the first time after having that done. So I was like, right, well, I'm going to have to come back another day and give you this urine sample, because you just scared the piss inside me. It's not going to come out. And you know what? I didn't pee for about 2 days. And when I did pee, I was at work and I screamed so loudly. And it was that fear, because she'd put that in me, and I've never been so afraid of anything in my life than peeing. And every time I wanted to go, I was just, yeah, the nerves would just, you know, couldn't come out.
Nice.
Oh God, that was pretty horrendous, actually. I mean, I can't really equate it to having to pass a kidney stone, but it was like fire just coming out of the end of my penis. All right, welcome back. Rob was just telling me that he's got another story that's going to make me think poorly of him.
I know.
I can't imagine what that would be, Rob. So,
well, before the break, we were talking about how you had to pee for your sexual transmitted disease check. But
right, well, when you put it like that, it just sounds a bit. I went for moral support with a friend. And I was clean, but you know, I probably hadn't even had sex. So I just went with him.
Like, sir, you understand you actually had to get laid before this is even pertinent. No, I just want to do it.
No one told me that. I wore the same boxers 3 days in a row once. I want to make sure everything's clear down there. Come on, what's this story that's going to make me think you're a fucking miscreant?
Well, it's not so much miscreant, just an idiot. No.
Oh, well, you don't need to tell it then. I'm already there.
When I was in the military, and I was in the army, which didn't do a whole lot of good for me, but when I was in the military, they would randomly do urinalysis checks, just because, you know, you're traveling all the world, and they take everyone in, but you can't be stoned out of your gourd and holding an automatic grenade launcher or anything, so they spot check you. And the way they do it, well, I think they've changed it now because people were pointing out how stupid it was, but the way they used to do it was they would call you at 5 o'clock in the morning, wake you up and say, "Hey, you're taking a piss test in like an hour." And so, because they wanted to spring it on you, so you couldn't do anything to trick their test, you know. But now they're, when I was towards me getting out, they started to realize that, you know, you don't have to spring it on them. If it's in their system, it's in their system. But in any case, I get this call at like 5 o'clock in the morning saying, "Hey, in about an hour, I want you to pee in a cup." And it's supposed to be a completely random group of selection of people from your military unit. And they have to come down, and you go down to like the community bathroom by the headquarters. And because it's a drug check, they have like five guys that are waiting, and they have to watch you piss, you know, because that way you don't slip something in there, or, you know, which
I would never get it done.
And it's hard. And a lot of guys go through that. They try to go through it, and you go through like three times, like, okay, I can force this. And you get performance anxiety, and you can't take a piss. It just doesn't happen.
I go into a urinal, and there's someone even in a cubicle sometimes. I just can't go. I've got to be on my own. It's an alone thing.
It is.
I'll be by myself.
And, you know, you're standing in line just doing the pee-pee dance because you have to go so bad. But by the time the guy's there, he's standing. I mean, he's not looking over your shoulder going, "Hey, nice dick." But, I mean, he has to watch to make sure there's nothing. You're not putting anything
in. He should, because compliments might help.
It eases, you know, rubs your shoulders or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Gives you a little butthole massage.
Kisses you on the cheek. "It's okay, buddy."
"Come on, pee in a cup."
But, you know, and so you're just like, you're forcing it. And there was one morning, and for some reason, I think they thought that me and my best friend were just always stoned, because I act like I do now. But in the military, everybody's prim and proper, and I was never that way. You know, I was an idiot there, just like I am now. And so for some reason, me and my best friend every month happened to get randomly selected every single month. And Well, this month I woke up and I'm down there in our workout, because we have to show up in our workout clothes, and I'm just there and my eyes are barely open, and I'm like, let's just get this done with. And this guy was like two ranks from being the highest ranking you can be in the military. I mean, he's like an E7, and which doesn't mean anything to you probably, but it was like, he's like two.
I know exactly what that means. What was he? An E7?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I know what that means. Have you got any other further questions for me about what it means?
No, not at all.
All right, good.
Because, but it basically is like two ranks from being the highest ranking you can get.
It's two ranks from being the highest ranking you can get. I was just going to say that.
Jesus. I know you were. I was just trying to fill in the dead space. But so I try to take a piss and nothing happens. Like, it's just not happening, like always. And so he's like, go sit down. We'll try it again. And so I'm sitting there waiting. And finally, I'm like, okay, I have to shit. And I'm like, I have to pee in this cup first, but I have to shit.
Give me a bigger cup.
And so I'm like, hey, Sergeant. And he's like, yes, Private. I go, I have to go to the bathroom. He's like, good, let's go. I go, you don't understand. I have to shit. He's like, well, what? I'm like, and you have to address these guys in full, you have to be very professional and respectful and everything. But I had to shit. And it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. And one of those things where it was happening. He's like, no, you don't. I'm like, no, I have to shit. He's like, no, you need to pee in a cup and then you can do whatever the hell you want after that. I go, you don't understand. That's not happening. And he's like, do you understand? I have to watch you.
Please tell me he had to watch you do a shit.
And he's like, I've been in the military for like 13 years and this has not happened to me. He goes, Private, you get up there and take a piss. And I'm like, I tried and I tried to push the piss out. And all that happened was make me have to take a shit really bad now.
What was the issue, though? Because you could just go to the toilet, sit down, do your poo, put the cup like just forward of the seat, flop your willy into the cup and then pee. And then he could watch the pee happen.
You're right. But have you ever looked a grown man in the face while he's taking a shit?
Most of the time. Like, that's how I do mine, because there's no door on the bathroom where I work,
and it's in the lobby.
I kicked it off the hinges because I was sick of having to like do that extra pulling and pushing motion when I desperately needed to poo.
But no, and that's exactly what happened. So I had this very high ranking guy had to watch me shit, and that man had a whole string of cuss words the entire time because he has to watch. Me drop my pants and sit down, and he's like, "God damn it, Private!"
I would have taken so long over it. I was taking like 20 minutes. Made him go out and get me a magazine. I'd have pulled all sorts of faces and.
But you know what? I'm grateful that it wasn't like Taco Bell the night before, because it was like relatively uneventful shit.
Yeah.
But can you imagine like how bad it would have been if I would like had just Taco Bell or something the day before and just like
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I hope he tells that story to everyone. All right, welcome back, everyone. My promise to Rob is to, because this is about the fourth time we've tried to finish the show. Rob, I'm going to shave.
That would be okay? Nice.
Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah. Because all we're getting is beard interference. Right, Rob. There's a bit of an elephant in the room, so let's talk about the elephant and his big dick. The recent loss of Robin Williams.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I
don't care.
Okay, yeah, good.
Of course, it was completely tragic, and we had him do the intro for our show way before he died, because that movie's quite old. So thanks for that, Robin. It is obviously an issue, and I think a lot of people don't fully understand, and I'm not going to pretend to, and I know you're not going to either, but we do want to just say to anyone out there who's listening, and you are having problems with depression or anxiety or anything like that, that there are people you can talk to. It's certainly not us,
and listening to our podcast is going to help. you guys in Australia, there's a really good organization called Beyond Blue. You'll find them at beyondblue.org.au. And they have a great website with, obviously there's a phone number. For those of you that feel like you can't really talk about it, there's an online chat. And there's also, of course, email. So I highly recommend them. Rob, there's probably someone that people in America can talk to because I care about Americans too.
Absolutely. If you want to go to the website, it's www.suicidepreventionlifeline.org. And they also have a phone number, 1-800-273-TALK. And
now I'll stop you there, Rob, because talk, that's not a number.
It is in America. We actually have more buttons than you do.
So you just dial 1-800-273 and then you hold down the middle button and go talk.
No, you type
like,
in
like you're talking keyboard, to Siri.
T-A-L-K.
Nah, that's bullshit. That's not going to work.
Nice.
Yeah, well, that'll do, actually, Rob. I've had enough of you for 1 week. Sorry this has taken a while. Has this taken a while? Did we do a show last week? I can't remember.
We had the last one was Gary the Panda Has Tourette's, which was a hit, by the way.
Which was fucking awesome. yeah, that was... I don't really listen to the show. Like you send it to me and then I'll sort of proof listen before it goes out. I've listened to Gary the Panda about 12 or 13 times. I even played it at work, and a lot of people at work don't know about this show. I had it on so that people could hear it, just in case anyone walked past and went, "What the fuck is happening over here?" Just had it playing through my computer. Yeah, but I think it's been a while since we did a full episode. So, yes. I've just been busy growing a beard. I don't know what else to tell you.
I assume you're going to post pictures.
Do you need pictures? Do you want to see beard pictures?
We want to see the majesticness that has become.
Which are we talking about, face beard or bum beard?
Both. I assume they look pretty close.
Yeah. No, they've both got shit in them all the time. All right. Thanks very much. Thanks ever much. Yeah. Thanks ever much, everybody. Brilliant. Well done, Dave. All right. Fuck off. Goodbye, everyone.
See ya.